Welcome to the May 16th, 2020 for TeamSpeak for OpenHBSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week is last week of classes. Today I had a Tapper board meeting on Zoom. This would have been Dayton weekend, which was when we usually have the meeting. So we just had it online. So a little bit tired from being in meetings all day, but that's it. So next on the list, we have Greg ZL3IX, shown as mic muted. Then we have Henry PA0HJA, shown as recording and away. And then we have Mike AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhbsdr.org. Next, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning, good afternoon, evening, all. Nothing much to report, I'm afraid. The most interesting thing I did this week was to watch the webinar of the NVIDIA GTC conference and see all the new products and technologies they're bringing out shortly. I always like the Jetson board, but boy oh boy, have they got some amazing new technology about to be released. I'm afraid that's all from down under. Back to you.
Yeah, I did see some information on their new boards. It's pretty amazing. Next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey guys, good evening. Yeah, I got nothing to report. Actually, I'm still at work. I was going to say, the NVIDIA thing sounds interesting. Everybody's got links to go look out. Sounds like a good lunchtime diversion, but that's it for me.
Okay, Bill. And then the last on the list, we have Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording and away. And that brings us to the end of the list, and we're open for general discussion.
I have a question, if I may.
Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. It's coming up the time where I'm going to have to change my laptop, and obviously the new one is going to be Windows 10. Can someone tell me from which version of PowerSDR it all worked with Windows 10? I know there was something about a license being needed from Microsoft, but I've forgotten exactly how that worked.
Phil, I think you're better to answer that than me.
Okay. I think it was due to the, if you're using the USB board rather than Ethernet, Greg. So you did need a new libUSB driver.
Ah, okay. Thanks. No, that won't be the case with this then, because I use the laptop I forget the name of the module, Hermes module. So you don't think it'll be a problem for Hermes, though?
No, there's no special driver required for Hermes. I've upgraded from 7, 8, and 10 without needing anything else, Greg.
Okay, good, thanks. I had a funny feeling that it was something to do with some license that you needed from Microsoft to run any applications under Win 10, but maybe I got that wrong.
No, so it's only the driver for the USB interface.
Yeah, it was. They started requiring drivers to be signed on the 64-bit systems, which the libUSB driver needed to be signed, and George Burkett got the stuff together to get it signed and got all the... I think he passed the hat to go buy a signing key so we could sign the driver.
Good. Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for the information.
I had heard something about people running the Japanese version of Windows 10 were having some problems with PowerSDR, but I wouldn't expect you're running a Japanese version of Windows 10.
No, I don't think I would get along very well with that. Well, anyway, thanks, guys, and 73.
73. User disconnected from your channel. So I was asked to invite both of you to the 2020 DCC, that'll be a virtual DCC, and Steve Bibles told me to tell you that you're both welcome to give a talk if you'd like.
Thank you. Is there any? Can you email me some details, or will it be a website shortly?
And we're working on the website, but it is the same dates as previous advertised. So mid September, and it'll be a Friday Saturday sessions, and we'll be conducted, regular talks. There's plenty of openings right now. So, but I'll send you some information.
Thanks so much, Doug.
The only thing I could think of presenting right now would be the lack of reliability of electronic systems late in the day on Fridays.
You have real experience with that, huh?
Yeah, I don't. It's sort of funny. I had a whole big tear down and rebuild of one of our clusters to start tonight, and it was funny, early in the week it was sort of calm before the storm, and then the proverbial hit the fan Thursday afternoon. I've been trying to dig out ever since.
I remember you were telling us that you never liked shipping things on Friday afternoon.
No, I don't. This is actually but this isn't actually pushing stuff out. This is turning something off and starting a total rebuild of it. It's a two-week process, but before I could start on that, I had to get something that went into the ditch Thursday night out of the ditch, and finally got that. So what I was planning on starting tonight at 5, I actually ended up starting at 7:30. I have to get the thing turned off so people can't create more stuff out here.
So I'm getting a little static on your line. I was looking previously, and it looked like you had thunderstorms going through your area. Is that true?
We do. We have, actually, we should post the radar too. It looks interesting. That's what our radar looks like right now. I am, northwest of the plus sign by the word Austin. Just above the, you see the county line and the notch. I live in the notch on the north side of the county line.
We had a very similar set of thunderstorms come through at 2 o'clock this morning, and I'm still suffering the sleep deprivation all day.
Are you sleep deprived due to the thunderstorm, or sleep deprived due to the weather radios alarming?
Oh, it was the thunderstorm. We had a couple of strikes that were less than a second from flash to the bang, so that always gets me a little nervous.
Okay, I enhance my sleeplessness with a radio, so I get woken up for a thunderstorm within 40 miles, it seems like. What was that last year?
Phil, this gives you the dates. We will not be in Charlotte. We've actually negotiated with the hotel to potentially have dates of those same dates in 2021, given that things are open by then, as far as air travel and things. But we will have it on the 11th and 12th, and probably go for half-hour talks, maybe if we have somebody that has something really interesting as a keynote, a little longer than that. And please contact Steve or Scotty or myself. We're all on the board, and we can get you hooked up.
Okay, thanks. I've got the link there, Dave. Thanks very much. Yeah, nothing planned on those dates at the moment. No trips planned.
So this one you could do from your office, and it's all going to be virtual on Zoom.
Okay.
In the middle of the Australian night.
I've attended a few conferences recently online in the middle of the night, Bill. It works pretty well, actually.
Yeah, I've actually started, for things that are video or the charts are big enough, I've actually started Chromecasting stuff to the TV and watching it up there. And makes for a nicer setup now. I got two big displays to work on, and the laptop display plus the TV above the other two displays. So almost started looking at mission control.
So Phil, this morning, Daryl Smith, VK2TDS, was on our conferences, and it was late at night for him when he checked in. But he's one of the officers and for Tapper, so he made it.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I watched the. But I put the link up for you, Bill, for the. Excuse me, for the NVIDIA conference, and a lot of the stuff was a bit over my head, but autonomous vehicle a section about how that's working, and the simulator they showed of having a simulated car driving an environment, it was absolutely amazing. Well, I think all of it was amazing. The to release that number and the quality of products of the year is just incredible.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll have to go look at this. I'm not sure I believe in self-driving cars, although it's actually one of the use cases I keep hearing for edge computing is needing to talk to autonomous cars. I'm like, please tell me we're not putting cars out there that depend upon the internet.
Oh, it'll be 5G. That'll be fine. Don't worry, Bill.
What could go wrong?
Now, Phil, you surely have places, and even I have places in my state where we don't have any cell service, and I don't know quite how that would work, but there are places where there is no cell service.
Yeah, we've got quite a reasonably large area where there's no cell service. As he anticipated, Dave. I think that the telcos say they cover 99% of Australia. And if you look at the fine print, it says 99.9% of populated areas.
Yep. It's populated areas. And when I get out in the forest, and particularly if there's mountains or topography, if you're on top of the hill, you can maybe get a cell tower, maybe not. And if you're in the valley, it's not much luck.
I was actually surprised when I did the drive from here to Albuquerque for DCC. The only place I was aware of I had lost cell service was on the way out to the Very Large Array where they don't have cell service. But for pretty much all the rest of it, it seemed to have covered. It surprised me, actually.
I had heard a story that West Texas, they launch cell repeater balloons every day, just like weather balloons every day. And that way it covers a large area for relatively low cost.
That would, I have no idea if that's true or not. I guess where I was wasn't technically West Texas. It was more up in the panhandle. I still have to get out to West Texas one of these days. That would be the place I would think in Texas you'd most likely not have cell service. Although, if you look at the coverage maps, what it looks like is I think they have fairly good coverage along any of the interstates or U.S. highways. And then if you get off those, you're in trouble. But I know there are big chunks of West Texas where there are no U.S. highways or no highway of any shape or form.
Yep.
IEEE Spectrum has an interesting article, the title of which is Machine Learning Remakes Radio, which I have yet to read, but what's interesting? This NVIDIA thing hasn't taken place yet, has it?
No.
Sorry, Bill, your audio is a bit broken up.
No, I just noticed that this NVIDIA thing hasn't taken place yet.
No, that's the keynote, but that has occurred.
Oh, okay. We're gonna have to go watch that then. Cool. Yeah, the more stuff I'd like to play with. So I've been listening to the audio version of Midnight Chernobyl while cooking and the like last week or two, and very good book, interesting interesting read or listen. It also gets you in the mode of not trusting technology too much at times.
I have to tell you, I found a video that I was watching on YouTube, and it was about the Graf Zeppelin, and they were flying around the world in 1929, and it was very interesting seeing the buildings in big cities and how much change there was from 29 to now. And one of the cities they landed in was Friedrichshafen.
How big a city is Friedrichshafen?
Well, it's not as big a city as New York, but New York didn't have an Empire State Building when the Zeppelin flew by, because it was 1929, and I think the Empire State Building was built in the mid-30s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but it was in the age of the dirigibles, and because the mast on the top of the Empire State Building was at one point advertised it as a dirigible mooring mast, which you could only imagine going across a narrow catwalk getting out of one of those things 1,000+ feet in the air.
Yeah, it did sound like it was pretty interesting. The trip around the world, they went across Siberia to Japan, and then across down to the west coast of the U.S. Apparently, it was mostly funded by the Hearst family, the newspaper guys.
Actually, the Hindenburg apparently docked at the Empire State Building.
Yeah, I heard you say something about the Hindenburg, but I missed what it was.
Well, one might want to read closely.
It does say a composite image. And I guess it was 35, wasn't it, the year that the Hindenburg blew up?
I think it was 37, according to Wikipedia, but the date of this article is April 1st, 2013.
Well, it was interesting. Looking at New York City and the skyline, and my father was born in 1927, so although he didn't live in New York City, he lived in Chicago, but just to think back, that was the time my father was born.
Well, my father was born in 32, and his parents bought a house in the Bronx in like 37, 38, somewhere around there. And he just recently discovered a picture that his brother had taken of that house in the mid-50s, and the street it was on. And I saw it, and I was positively amazed, because there were only three houses on the street, and for all the time I knew this house, and this was my grandparents' house, so I knew it from the late 60s onwards, if you say, positively dense, big city environment, and it almost looks like countryside, it was only 10 years before.
Yeah, it is amazing when you look back to familiar places and how they've changed through time.